If you're tired of living under the burden of debt, stay tuned. Biblical Solutions for Financial Freedom starts now. And here's your host, CEO and Chief Counsel of the Alliance Legal Group and Director of Christian Rights Ministries, Steve Taylor.
Good afternoon, Hampton Roads. This is Steve Taylor, and it's great having you online, on the air. And good afternoon, Colleen. It's great having it's great being in the studio.
Nice to be here along with you. Of course, we have our phone lines open as we always do here on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So you can call in at 488-5299, 488-5299. Always got to put that at the top of the show so people make sure that they know where to call.
That's 488-5299. This is the program that you will get biblical solutions for financial freedom. And so that's what we're here to talk about today. And, you know, I was speaking to a young man, a gentleman this morning, and maybe he's listening or maybe he's not. But, you know, the conversation that we had was the whole subject matter of, you know, the biblical foundations of debt relief through bankruptcy. And, you know, so few people actually know that is something that is really just found throughout the scriptures. And so especially in the Old Testament, where you see the year of release and the Deuteronomy.
Year of Jubilee, everybody talks about that as well.
Absolutely. And so as well as the whole concept of grace that God gives as far as forgiveness of our sin debt. You know, and so that tied in between those is the kind of the paradigm that we have when we talk about biblical solutions for financial freedom. So we'll be talking a little bit about that today, but we're also going to jump into we following up on last week that we talked a little bit about how a law practice actually employs those biblical solutions. You know, how you can be a law practice, you know, they say rhinos, but, you know, Christian in name only is some of these allegations that people have as far as just law practices that say that they're Christians, and then, you know, how do they differ from anybody else? So we'll talk a little bit about that today.
I think that's good. I think, you know, of course, you call yourself we call ourselves Christian radio or Christian business, Christian whatever, and that's great because it does let people know, hey, we stand by faith, but you don't know, there's different degrees of that, and I love how you've been talking about the last couple of shows, how you have a mission statement, and then everyone in your employment, you know, follows through on those practices. You pray with people, you know. I think, you know, you're putting your method into what you're doing with that, and how you represent yourselves to your clients.
Well, I appreciate that, and again, we were going to have one of our awesome attorneys today, Carter Budwell. He's the attorney at the Newtown Road in the Portsmouth office. But as things happen, you know, one of our staff wasn't feeling too good today. So he's running around just, you know, trying
to fill in some shoes.
Absolutely. He's filling a lot of shoes today. So we're going to probably wait until next Thursday, hopefully that she's doing better and he'll have a little less stress on him. So, but we have a lot to talk about as far as the Christian framework of practicing law as a Christian law practice. And also, you know, that it really goes past, you know, it really is more, the focus that I really would like to have is today is, you know, not only discussing, you know, who we are as a law practice, but, you know, who you are in your profession, in your walk of life, that it's just the whole concept of not just being a Christian in name only, you know, to actually, if you're going to walk the talk, if you're going to talk the talk, you have to walk the walk.
Well, we mentioned before, you know, a mission field. We're all missionaries in our sphere of influence, wherever we are.
And of course, as always, that the Alliance Legal Group is the law practice that I work in, and I'm the CEO of, and that we have four offices across Hampton Roads, and that one's in Chesapeake, downtown Great Bridge. If there's a downtown, that's we're probably in it. And that, of course, like I said, that I think downtown is really in South, Chesapeake is South Norfolk, but, you know, the merger might say otherwise, but that's another concept, another conversation. We have an office in Portsmouth across from Maryview, Caddy Corner on Rodman. It's really on Western Branch Boulevard, but don't get confused of Western Branch Boulevard being someplace other than right next to High Street that whole concept. With people in Portsmouth, you know, that nowhere Western Branch is,
right.
Or people outside of Portsmouth think Western Branch is in Chesapeake,
right.
Yeah, so everybody gets
it's
lost.
Confusing.
It is a little confusing there, but it's Caddy Corner from the Maryview Hospital. And then we have an office in Newtown Road, which is, it straddles the Norfolk, Virginia Beach line there. That's what Newtown Road does. And it's between the Virginia Beach Boulevard and Interstate 64 area right there. And, of course, if you know where the Wendy's and the McDonald's are, that it's that law office right in between those two eateries. And then we have an office in Suffolk in downtown, and there truly is a downtown in Suffolk, and it's not Harborview. It's even though some people think the Harborview is the downtown, that's where they're trying to move it. But the where the courthouse is, and where the seat of government, the old downtown, that's where we're located, about two blocks away from the courthouse, across the street from the old high school, and it's now the cultural center. It's on a corner of Main and Finney. And for those Suffolk residents that really know the area, been there a while, it's across the street from where the old Birdsong Recreational Center. Do you know that? Do you know where that?
I know the name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was a pretty popular place back in the day, apparently. So that's who we are. We have offices across Hampton Roads. And, of course, with the...
Well, and if you can't...
Oh, there's Carter Budwell there.
I was going to say, if you're not available to go to any of those places...
I'm going to see what Carter Budwell is saying, because I didn't... think we were going to get to talk to him today. Hey, Mr. Budwell, how are you doing today, sir?
So far, so good. How are you today?
Good. You know, you're on the air right now.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, we told everybody online, we said, listen, you know, Carter Budwell is, you know, that he's had a, one of his staff was taken ill today, and so that he's running around, you know, just doing the dutiful sort of thing. And so I don't know if you have time to. Are you able to talk at all today? Or are you just?
Yeah, I can talk a little bit. What's up?
Well, what we're going to do is that we're going to get a better feed for you. So I'm going to give you the phone number, and then just a minute or two or whenever you can call in at 757-488-5299. That's great to have you on. Like I said, I didn't think you're going to be able to do it, so I wasn't going to even remind you because you were kind of running around. So that's 757-488-5299. We'll talk to you in a minute, okay?
All right, hang on one second.
All right, thanks. So we're going to go back to that original thought. We're going to interview one of our attorneys. He's a we'll discuss more, but he's a Regent graduate that he loves the Lord, that he. Love sharing Jesus with folks that come in the office, and you know that it's just a wonderful thing to have an attorney that really lives the mission and vision of the law firm. So, do we have Carter on the line now?
We do.
I don't hear him yet. Oh, there he is.
Hello.
Hey, Carter Budwell. So, you know, we're the last couple of sessions just kind of catch you up to speed in case you didn't hear the. I think you did, but the last radio program that we did, we're trying to, you know, really emphasize one that there's a difference between law practices, especially when it comes to the Hampton Roads bankruptcy attorney market. And that is, you know, that we have a Christian mission vision statement. And I'm going to put him on the spot. And I don't think he's got a script with him there.
But then, no, I don't.
But I'm gonna ask you, Carter, do you know the mission vision statement for the Alliance Legal Group?
Oh, the mission and vision statement. Oh, to defend and preserve
That's Christian Rights Ministries.
Oh, all right, sorry. To operate a Christ-centered law practice, emphasizing and relying on biblical principles in order to effectively and efficiently serve the legal and spiritual needs of our clients, community, and employees, and to support His perfect will.
Hey, amen. Good job, Carter. That's wonderful. And, you know, that we do this, you know, that people say, why do you have a mission and vision statement? Well, you know, the reason that we did it was my dad, he's gone to glory about 5-6 years ago that, but he was a very wise man. And he said, you know, Steve, if you're going to, I gave my life to the Lord in 1999. And then within a year or two that we had, you know, given the practice and, you know, I went into full-time Christian ministry. He said, you know, if you're going to do this the way that you should do it, then you need to have a vision. And so that very quickly is to operate a Christ-centered law practice, you know, but this is something we prayed about. And we say, you know, we want to turn our practice over to the Lord, let him lead us the best, you know, because we're sinners and that we need direction, we need vision. You know, the Bible says that, you know, without vision, the people perish. And so we need vision. And so that the to operate a Christ-centered law practice, emphasizing and relying on biblical principles. And, you know, the, and, you know, I guess as we go through this vision statement, you know, to operate a Christ-centered law practice, what does that mean in a practical way, I guess, Carter? I've introduced you a little bit. You know, I told him that you're a Regent graduate. Let's back up even one step further. When did you get saved? Tell us about that. Tell us, give us a thumbnail sketch of your testimony.
Well, I was raised in a Christian home, but I was very, very nominal about my faith for quite some time. And I really think, I got involved with InterVarsity when I was in college in Colorado and went on a mission trip to Peru. And it was really there where I was really challenged that being a Christian means a lot more than just praying a prayer. And it means surrendering my life to the Lord. And the next couple of years were kind of tough as, you know, God really brought me through that breaking process to the point where I really wanted to live for him and realized I just could not do that on my own. Yeah. So that was in about the spring of 2008. And
do you mind sharing with us? How old are you, Carter?
35
years old. And so about, give us kind of like a time frame. About how old were you when you actually surrendered your life to Jesus?
22.
Okay, all right. So 13 years, but go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Just give us some framework.
Yeah, and so I ended up working as a missionary with Youth with a Mission for a few years, and that was the best thing, one of the best things I've ever done with my life. I thought I was going to be doing that for the rest of my life. I thought I would be a career missionary, but I remember, I think it was in the fall of 2009 or so, I was doing a training school for people who really wanted to do long-term missions, and they heard that, you know, prior to surrendering to Christ, I had thought about law school, and I remember one of the teachers, Ian, told me to not give up on the idea of law school, because we really do need Christians in the practice of law. And as things would have it, that same week, the dean of Regent Law, it was Jeff Brauch at the time, and he was visiting our campus, and they gave me his card, and a little more than a year later, I visited Regent, and just really loved it there, and it was about in 2012 that I really sensed that that's where the Lord was calling me, so I moved out to Virginia, and yeah, I went to law school at Regent, and
you did a pretty good job over there, too, just to, I'm not trying to, you know, toot anybody's horn, but you were in Law Review, and you've published a few articles or something. Can you tell us a little bit?
I was on the Journal of Global Justice and Public Policy, which I was really passionate about. You know, we wrote articles related to global justice issues and such, and that was pretty enjoyable. And yeah, I did publish an article with them about juvenile justice, and I have one being published, actually a bankruptcy-specific one that the Law Review is publishing now. And
That's great,
on the random chance that any of the editors over there are listening in right now, God bless you. Thank you so much. I know how stressful it can be.
Yeah, that's right.
So, and I actually started working for you pretty soon after I passed the bar exam. So,
and I think one of the reasons that, I mean, obviously, you know, you come in the office, I saw, you know, what a great individual, what a great opportunity for us. And, of course, we prayed and things of that nature. But was any of the decision that you, and I know the answer, but that, just share, what was some of the things going through your head as far as how you wanted to, you know, you had this law career, you had this calling, you had this gift God's given you. How did you want to use it, and where did you want to use it? I mean, what was your thinking when you joined our firm?
Oh, goodness. Well, part of the thinking was I had a law degree. I had passed the bar, and I needed a job to put that stuff into good practice. And
right.
you were the first one who said yes. So, but that aside, I mean, it really was a blessing, because I remember I had prayed in law school that I would have a job that I would be able to have a ministry with. And I also really wanted a job where, you know, work would not be my whole life. I think that's a problem in a lot of major law firms, is that you never really leave. And this firm has just been, you know, such an answer to all that prayer. I mean, it's just a wonderful opportunity to get to talk to our clients about the Lord and have prayer support when things are stressful. I love it. You know, when I give you a call, that you'll pray for me. I love that.
Let me ask you, had hit on something that I think is really important, and that is that you wanted to. And I think, you know, whether, like I said, that we're talking to a varied group of folks out there in all sorts of different mm-hmm. professions and all sorts of different walks of life and all sorts of opportunities. But you had shared that you wanted to use your calling, your ministry, or your calling to further your ministry. And so how has that played out? Give us some practical sort of things that you do on a regular basis. I know what they are, but you share with us some of the things you do to make that ministry happen in the law practice.
Well, I'll be brutally honest. Like a lot of Christians, I struggle with timidity in sharing my faith. I think sometimes our just natural response to things is we want to preserve our life as much as possible. But I love working in a firm where we're really encouraged to step out. So one of the ways I do it, you know, whenever we have somebody hire us, you know, I'll send them an opening email, and I always end it with, "You should also know that we are a Christian firm. We're a ministry in addition to being a law firm." And especially during this last year, you know, when everyone has just been struggling so much with fear and uncertainty, I've really tried to be a source of encouragement. I remember last year, you know, my girlfriend sent me a wonderful sermon from Elevation Church during the pandemic, and I remember I sent that to a lot of people, you know, just about trusting the Lord for new things. And
no clients you sent them to.
Yeah, since because it was really encouraging for me. And, you know, I knew that a lot of our clients were just terrified. I mean, we didn't know how long this thing was going to last. We didn't. I mean, we still don't. And I really just, it was really a time where I was challenged to ask myself how much I really trusted the Lord. And but it also really proved to be a good opportunity to share some encouragement with some of our clients. And lately, what I've been trying to do is just be a little more direct with our clients.
You sure have.
About it.
I've read some of those emails. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I just find that sometimes being direct in evangelism is just so much easier than trying to squeeze it in an email where there's already so many other things going on. And just to flat out, you know, ask them, "Have you decided to follow Jesus?" Because really, that's the only important question that we have to answer in our life is, have we decided to follow Christ? We're all going to spend eternity somewhere. And that's something that I have to pray for frequently, because, you know, there's always the temptation in the practice of law to just get bogged down and so focused on the day-to-day tasks that we have to do that, you know, that we can forget to practice in the light of eternity. You know,
So you would encourage those folks that are listening today. I mean, let me just say this. You know, in this regulated sort of quote-unquote professional sort of services industry that we're in, it's a little intimidating to, you know, step out and say to a client that comes in for this or that or the other to talk to them about. I mean, if you don't do it on a regular basis, you know what? I bet you we're talking to a lot of folks in their industry or in their business or in their profession or in whatever they're doing to do the same thing. I just share, you know, just, you know, as we continue this conversation, we have about what, how many, 8 or 10 minutes left? I would really, you know, when I listen, you know, as the boss, you know, the company, and, you know, he does me the courtesy of lots of times, you know, sending me a CC on the email.
Yeah. Well, CC you and Don on there, because, you know, I want
Don is the chaplain.
Yeah.
And I see this email and it says, you know, thank you for your, you know, opening the file. But let me ask you a really important question. Do you know Jesus? And I just go, and I look at that, and I said, wow, that's awesome. You know, and of course, he's already introduced himself in the office, and they've got a general relationship going. But, you know, going that extra step and just reaching out is really, and that is a little bit scary for just, you know, for anybody, you know, because, you know, it can be something that people say, well, you know, your flesh tells you, you're going to say, no, who are you to ask me that question or something, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, and I think sadly, you know, in our country so much, we almost act like sharing the gospel, like that's not really our job. But, you know, the last command that Jesus gave was go and make disciples of all nations. And that's a command to all Christians. You know, I believe we're all called to obey the Great Commission, whether it's here or in a foreign country. I believe wherever we are, you know, God wants us to be spreading the gospel. And I love that I have a job that gives me the opportunity to do that, because I really have to remind myself that all of the people who we talk to, they're going to spend eternity somewhere. And so many of the things that I think take our focus, really, when you look at it in the light of eternity, they're not really going to matter that much in 100 years. But whether or not somebody, you know, has chosen to follow the Lord is going to matter in 100 years. And I really want our clients to understand that we care about that.
Yeah, that's true. Listen, Colleen's got a question for you that I've kind of put her on the spot.
Colleen,
she's the station manager, and she's my co-host here. And so she's been listening to this. She's an awesome Christian. She does practice exactly what we're talking about here, you know, sharing the gospel, you know, and allowing the gospel to be shared. So, Colleen, what question do you have for Carter?
Well, I was going to ask, like, how do people react to those emails that they receive? What kind of feedback have you gotten off of that?
Right. Well, unfortunately, like with a lot of emails, we don't always get responses. I have gotten some emails back just saying that, yeah, I am a Christian. Unfortunately, I mean, I've only been doing this for a short time, so I have not yet had somebody email back. My ideal email answer is, no, I don't, but I would really like to know more. When can we talk about it? That would be,
you know,
ideal.
Though, Carter, the and we've talked about this before, you know, that sharing the gospel, if you, and especially you see all these circumstances of people sharing the gospel, like, let's say you go to the parade and you got that guy up on the thing saying, you know, which is, listen, he's being called to do it and he's doing that. Not every, sharing of a witness is intended for the person to accept Jesus. Lots of times that somebody sees this email, they're saying, well, why am I not doing that?
You're planting seeds and watering.
Exactly.
In some cases, you're planting seeds.
And the thing we have to remember when we're doing that is even Jesus said that some seed is just going to fall on hard ground.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we really can't control the person's heart who we cast the seed on. I think, I can't remember where it is in scripture, but Paul talked about, you know, I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God who makes it grow. All that we can do is give people the opportunity or plant seeds, like you said. But there comes a point where we really do have to trust God. I think I've made the mistake in my life of trying to argue people to the Lord, and I just really don't think that works.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we give them the opportunity, but there does come a point where we have to realize that it's in God's hands.
Yeah. And so a couple things that the one that we didn't share on the program so far because Carter just been so interesting. If you need to contact us or you want to contact us or you want a free consultation so that you can discuss the possibility of, you know, getting debt relief through the bankruptcy process, www.debtfreeva.com. You can set up an appointment. You can ask to speak to Carter directly or to myself or to one of our other attorneys. That we would love that. And so that the debt-free, www.debtfreeva.com, little chat person comes on and they'll direct you to the office and answer your questions. And, you know, and so getting back to Carter, though, that he's just been such a blessing. I mean, he's...
Oh, thanks.
He's said just a few things that he does. He's an encourager. He's an encourager among the office. There's just a wonderful attitude that he has that's very Christ-based and very... understanding, and that the and there's other things that he does as well. That he does YouTube, you know, YouTube videos, and so he always does a good job of just giving us content. But that every now and then he'll do like a come to Jesus video, you know, and so that the so we appreciate that as well. And so we're down to 2 minutes, Carter. We're down to 2 minutes. That I'm going to kind of give you the last sort of. So this is your opportunity right now. This is it. This is go time. So that if anybody's out there that you want to say something specifically to, Christian, non-Christian, whoever, this is your time. Go ahead.
Well, first off, I definitely want to give acknowledgement. Yeah, you talk about, you know, a lot of the good things I've done, but I really want to give an acknowledgement, if they're listening, to my two paralegals, to Terry and Janice, because they really do make it possible, and they do just such a great job being Christ-like to our clients. Yes. You know, both of them have had some difficult things happen to them in this last year, and through it all, they've just been so loving and caring towards our clients, and you know, and they definitely put up with me, because I'll be the first to say there are crazy times where I am not the best at imitating Christ, and they've been really, really good with me. So, but just to anybody who's listening, you know, even if you don't have any legal questions but want to call us to talk about faith, we really would encourage you to do so. We're happy to help you with whatever legal matter you have, but really our heart's desire is that we see you in heaven. That's our biggest desire. We want you to know the Lord, because honestly, if you don't have your relationship with the Lord right, you're really not going to have much else right in your life either. And it is a costly decision. We don't like to sugarcoat that, but you know, but it is the best decision you can ever make.
That's right. Well, God bless you, folks. And thank you, Carter, for joining us today.
No problem.
I hope you have a great day. We're praying for Janice, the person that's not feeling 100%. And, folks, we love you. Come see us. Talk to you soon. God bless. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Biblical Solutions for Financial Freedom. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. for more Christ-centered solutions to financial problems. If you would like more information about the Alliance Legal Group or Christian Rights Ministry,